The world around us is changing rapidly. Fundraisers and nonprofit marketers like you have to be flexible and innovative to continue to overcome the challenges you face. We're Pursuant, and we're here to provide you with the tools, insights, and strategies you need to get you where you want to go. You're tuned in to the Pursuant Listening Experience. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Pursuant Go Beyond podcast. Today, I am sitting down with Brian Carpenter, our resident donor data expert, and we are talking all about year end. We know that year end is coming up and you are putting together some of your communication plans and thinking about the different groups of people that you want to be speaking with at year end and how you can version those pieces of communication based on their interests, their relationship with you. But you may also be asking, how should we be segmenting our donor file at year end? And so that's why we've brought Ryan on today. And we're just going to kind of go down his list and provide you with a few tips and tricks on engaging your folks at year end and how you can best divide up the list for your most successful year end to date. Ryan, how are you doing?
Great, Leah. Thanks for asking me to join today. I'm glad to talk about this topic. It's something I've been working with a number of our clients on for the last few weeks, and we'll continue to do so for the next couple of months.
Yeah. No, thank you so much for taking the time to share some of these tips with our listeners. So the first one on the list is Giving Tuesday segments. Could you explain a little bit about why you might want to build a dedicated group of folks for Giving Tuesday?
Yeah. And let me just start by saying, I mean, you could always just send everybody everything, right? But we know that that's not the most effective way to communicate with your constituents, your donors and non-donors. And so, you know, here at Pursuant, we have the Giving DNA tool that allows you to understand who your people are, to understand what they care about, the channels they prefer to engage through. And that allows increased engagement. Increased engagement is going to lead to greater giving and more frequent giving. And so, yeah, we'll talk about a few different segments that we're really focusing on with our clients using the Giving DNA platform. The first being Giving Tuesday segments. One of the ones that we love and we've been working with our clients for the last few years on is identifying which of your constituents are active on social. And not only active, but are influencers. They have a large following. They have people sharing their posts, retweeting, liking. We get all this data from all different social media platforms, and it's recent. And so we're identifying organizations active, they're influencers, and really all we're doing is suggesting, and they've done this in the past successfully, to identify those people and then email them with the ask that they share your social media posts. Giving Tuesday is really huge on social. A lot of our clients use it. And so if you could identify those people on your file that are active on social and have really strong followings, and just ask them to share it. Don't ask for a gift. These are people that are likely going to respond positively to that. So send them an email, have the links that are when they're available, or even give them a heads up a couple weeks beforehand. And you know, you don't have to tell them we know you're active on social, but you do know they're active. So just ask if they can support that. You've appreciated them, you valued them. And if they could do this for you, that would be a great thing. And we've seen great success with organizations doing that in the past. And what's really cool about it is, when your constituents get that ask and they do share it, you are being exposed to audiences that you may never have been exposed to before. It's a great way to acquire donors, you know, more organically than just purchasing a list and, you know, sending out a mail or an email for people to begin giving to you. And so I think that's a really great one to consider as Giving Tuesday comes up on November 30th.
Yeah, thanks for that. So one question that I wanted to follow up with is, when you talk about constituents, are the folks in this Giving Tuesday segment who you've identified as social media influencers, are all of them donors?
Well, they don't have to be. They probably should be, because you want them to have some connection to your organization. And knowing that they're giving to you, knowing that they've been giving to you over the last year or 2 years, whatever you consider an active donor is probably where you want to start with. So looking at that population of active donors and then those that are giving, you know, that are active on social. You could certainly expand that to everybody on your file, but that may include people that really don't have much of a connection to you. it may not hurt, but if you want to have the greatest response, you may want to just focus on those that have recently given to you and that have, you know, a recent attachment to your organization.
And one thing that we always advise clients who take a Giving Tuesday campaign approach is that when you are reaching out to these folks and asking for their help elevating your message on social, make sure to include things like images they can share or suggested actions they can take more than just sharing your posts and commenting on them. Although that's very important to do that for just the way that different social media accounts have their algorithm structured, but especially on platforms like Instagram, that it doesn't really prioritize people always like reposting things. It can be really great to also equip them with their own sets of assets that they can use to push your message out.
Yeah, absolutely.
So next segment, Ryan. Philanthropic non-donors on your file.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. One thing I've seen over the years in working with our clients is every organization has a sizable amount of non-donors in their database or their CRM. They just do. And so take a look at those individuals. Understand which of your non-donors are actively giving elsewhere, right? Do they have an affinity to support your type of cause? Because in many cases, organizations aren't actively asking those people. They don't know why they're there. Maybe they're not comfortable asking for them to begin giving. So if you can identify the non-donors on your file and then look at those non-donors who have the capacity, the giving history elsewhere, and the affinity because they're giving to similar causes, those are the people you should go and have a direct ask for. And, you know, if there's some other factors that layer in, maybe they are only volunteers or they're advocates, recognize that past support they've given to you, but ask them to make a gift to your organization as well, too. They are actively donating elsewhere. And if you want to even further focus in on the causes they're supporting, the ones that look like yours and are similar to yours, they have an affinity to support that cause with actual dollars. So the way they support you can go beyond any of the, you know, ancillary things that go beyond outside of actual making a gift. But don't be scared to ask those people. And again, every organization has a large amount of non-donors on their file. I have not seen one yet that has virtually no non-donors. And wherever they came from, we can look to see which of those are giving elsewhere.
That's great. On the flip side, there are folks in your file who have been giving for a long time. And we do know that in general, year end tends to be more of an annual fund initiative. But how can we identify folks who might be great candidates for a different message from you? These might be people who you could ask to give more at year end or give more to your organization in general.
Yeah. So with Giving DNA, we're able to identify donors that are likely to upgrade if you only ask them to do based on their behavior, based on how they've been giving to you. We identify that for you. That takes no segmentation by our clients. It's an opportunity segment we create. And really, this is for the annual fund. We can layer in some other insights when we're looking at higher levels of giving, but it's easy enough to pull that segment and then create a different landing page that has an upgrade gift ask array, or in the return mailer, the array is upgraded. And this really is a more educated group that you're creating this upgrade gift ask array version for, rather than just doing an A/B test, right? That's flying blind. This, we can identify those most likely to upgrade. And so you can ask them and maybe not offend somebody that you have in an A/B test that says, hey, I give $50 every year. I'm not going to give $250 this year. So it really pinpoints the people that are likely to give at a greater level. And it's a great time of year to incorporate these upgrade candidates because it is, you know, the giving season. People are conditioned to give. And if these are the people that are conditioned to give at a greater level, go ahead and ask them to.
That's a great point. And one thing that you can always take a look at when you're building those gift arrays is to, you know, don't be afraid to ask for more than might be comfortable in that higher amount. A lot of times people can be a little bit risk averse to ask for that greater amount. But if you've pulled that segment and you already know that these folks are likely to upgrade their giving, why not include something that's a little bit of a stretch for them in that third option for that gift array? And just, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, absolutely agree. And again, this is informed. This is not a blind A/B test. We know based on how these people have been behaving that they are likely to upgrade. So certainly take that opportunity to ask for that stretch gift. You will be pleasantly surprised, I would say.
Year-end planning is well underway. If you are a fundraiser who is wondering, could we be doing more to optimize our year-end campaigns? Or are we talking to the right people? We have you covered. Visit Pursuant.com/year-end to get a roundup of our best year-end resources. All right. So I think next on our list is the lapsed risk folks.
Yeah. And so this is something that actually it's good to use throughout the course of the year. So basically with GivingDNA, we identify donors that haven't made a gift in 11 to 12 months. I really like it because, you know, most people will look at live lists, right? They gave last year, but not yet this year. The lapsed risk segment that we have on GivingDNA, it's more behavioral because it's based on when people are typically giving. So if we know they haven't made a gift in 11 to 12 months, they're likely to give within the next month. Well, you should really identify them at that month when they haven't made a gift in 11 months and set up a monthly communication stream to just those individuals and cultivate and steward them. So when the next appeal comes out, they're going to remember that you value them and are more likely to renew. And because you're going to get them before they hit a 12-month mark, it's harder to win a donor back every day after they haven't made a gift in over a year. So this is really getting ahead of it. It supports retention, and it also is really more focused than just taking that live bunt approach. And, you know, somebody may not have made a gift, but it's only been a month into the year. They're not going to make a gift anyway until, you know, 5 months down the road. So this is really hyper-focused. It's based on how people have been behaving. And it's a really good way to target people at the right time.
There's another category that kind of goes into that group of the people that are about to lapse, but then there's folks who've already lapsed. What do we do with them?
Yeah. So, I mean, this depends on how far back you include donors that are lapsed in your communication, right? So typically organizations are going to mail and email donors that have made a gift in the last 24 months or within the last 36 to a lesser extent. What we're suggesting is because particularly with mail, it's expensive. And if you're only mailing people that have given in the last 24 months, look at your donors that haven't made a gift in over 24 months. And then again, based on the ones that are actively giving to similar causes, that's the segment you want to try to win back. And you know they haven't made a gift in over 2 years or over 3 years, but they're giving to a similar cause this year. Be bold and ask them, you'd love to have them come back. And you may see that they will in fact respond with a gift, and just make sure that you are identifying what they care about. We can tell you what type of causes they're actively supporting. So maybe that aligns with the program that you have at your own organization that is going to win them back. And it also can help you be more efficient with any of your mail. It also can allow you to kind of go back further than you typically do, even with email, by identifying those people that are, you know, giving to similar causes currently and may want to, you know, may be able to win back if you have the right message about what you're doing that they care about.
For sure. And this is not a segment that is included in our list, but something that you want to consider whenever you're sending out messages is to consider the channel that someone is most likely to act in, to respond in. And we do have a way for nonprofits to figure out what that is.
Yeah, absolutely. So with this with any segment you're creating, you can identify the channel preference individuals have. And we base that off of how they've been transacting externally, not just to you, but where are they making gifts and where are they purchasing things? And based on the propensity to do so either digitally through the mail or on the phone, we can identify the segment that they prefer. Preference meaning that's most likely where they're going to transact. That's most likely where you're going to reach them. Reaching them is half the battle. So some of these donors may have lapsed because, you know, you're mailing them and they just don't respond to mail. They throw out all the mail they receive. If we can identify a group that prefers digital, that alone may help you better connect with them and to get them to reactivate.
And our final segment that we have is mid-level cultivation.
Yeah. So my fundraising background is mid-level, managing programs, managing mid-level donors. And one of the biggest things we had success with over the years was identifying our mid-level donors. And look, you may not be able to communicate with all of them. So there's prioritization that has to occur based on capacity, affinity, history of giving at this time of year. Whatever the case may be, identify the best group of mid-level donors you can personally reach out to. And in late October through mid-November, call them, personally email them, and just cultivate and steward. Ask them, you know, first thank them, ask them why they support you, what they care about. Just have a real authentic conversation about how you value them and you want to hear from them. And I'll be honest, the feedback we got was unexpected. It was super appreciated. We heard time and time again, oh, wow, I thought you were calling me to ask me for a gift. I've been getting bombarded with telemarketing. I'm getting emails, mail, just because everybody is doing it. And you're doing it too. But by layering in that thank you, they really appreciate that. And we've seen retention increase year over year from those that you're personally communicating with. And mid-level, you know, that's a meaningful a population of donors. It's typically 5% of your file, but 25% of your revenue. And so, you know, retaining as many of those people as possible is critical.
I know I always love this topic around mid-level and also the idea of upgrading someone. And, you know, and upgrading can be anything from getting someone who's given you a $10 a month gift to a $20 a month gift, or, you know, it can be, they can be small amounts. And the story that I always like to share with folks is I've been giving to a small organization, very small amount each month. And it's always kind of in the back of my mind from time to time that I need to go in there and just bump it up by, you know, $5 or something, nothing crazy, nothing that's going to, I'm even going to really notice coming out of my bank account, but I just kind of forget to do it. And I can guarantee you, if someone from that organization sent me an email saying, hey, Leah, we noticed you've been giving to us for 5 years and you've been giving us the same amount every month, would you consider giving this much more? And here's a really easy way to update your monthly gift. I would be like, yes, in a heartbeat, I'll do that right now. And I think people are afraid to do that, or they don't think that it can be as simple as that.
I agree with you. It's so funny. I am in the same situation that I give a small amount monthly, and I've been doing so for the last few years to my favorite organization. And I don't even know how to get onto the account to change it. So it would be nice if they reached out to me proactively, because I would be giving them more. And, you know, if we ask, we inform our clients on who are those ready to do so. And so, yeah, you should actively be considering that as well. And so that's why that upgrade candidate segment is really useful. We also have sustainer candidates as well. So that's another strategy that you could incorporate. It's the giving season. People are feeling philanthropic. Why not ask them to support at a monthly level?
Absolutely. And that's something that we definitely advise clients to do. And you can do it in the new year, but you can also do it at year end as a next step. You know, you might think it's a little bit bold if someone's given to you one time to go ahead and follow up with information about monthly giving, but you never know. You never know how someone might react. And most of the time, if someone has a negative reaction to it, they're just going to delete the email or close the browser window. They're not going to get upset with you.
You got it.
Well, Ryan, thank you so much for your time today. I always love sitting down and talking about strategy and year end and how we can better equip folks who listen to us or people who are clients of ours to really maximize this really important time of the year.
Yeah, great. Thanks, Leah. I was glad to join and talk about this today.